Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis to discuss the Jason Van Dyke trial happening here in Chicago, Julie Unruh, and the Executive Director for Social Change happening at 7:30, Todd Belcour. And at 8 o'clock, we have author and political strategist Rick Wilson discussing his book, Everything Trump Touches Dies. And at 9, we have acclaimed songwriter Justin Tranter, who's written countless hits for Ariana Grande, Gwen Stefani, and so much more, who is giving back to Chicago Academy for the Arts, the school that saved his life. And at 9:30, we have Adam Selzer with Ghost Tours and Chicago History. And stick around for Tell Me Something Good happening at the end of the show. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, we are broadcasting live.
For the last several years, of course, we've all been talking about the Jason Van Dyke case and the Laquan McDonald shooting, and now the court case has started. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, you reached out to Julie Unruh to make sure that we could have a conversation about this because, you know, not many of us have the point of view that she does.
Absolutely. Julie, not only a phenomenal reporter, but she has been on this case since the beginning. She's been there in the courtroom every day for jury selection, for everything, for opening statements today, and she got an exclusive interview with Jason Van Dyke's wife over the weekend, which aired on WGN-TV. It was a fascinating interview, and we're so excited that she could take time out of her busy day. This woman burns the candle at both ends. Julie, thank you for being with us. I know
you were
in court all day, so thank you for being with us.
Listen, everybody does in the business, right? And we're following what has been a story on everybody's minds, my gosh, for 4 years now. And Andrea, when you say that, I'm forgetting that we all have been covering this case. What felt like from the beginning, right? What looked or sounded like one thing just started to unravel, but it did take time. And we've all been watching it. So it is interesting to finally see it all laid out in a courtroom, which is how these stories usually end, right?
Yeah, and today he denied the change of venue, which was kind of big. Did you expect that, Julie?
Who denied? The judge did?
The judge.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, Andrea, I did expect it. People that know Judge Gaughan, and I am not one of them, they, you know, people go before him and have known the judge for decades, whether when he was a public defender or, you know, a sitting judge, really feel that he's a guy who was going to want to keep this in his courtroom, going to want to keep it at 26 in Cal, and just as importantly, going to want to keep it with a Cook County jury. So not only did he deny a change of venue motion, he also denied striking this entire panel who went through jury selection and the entire process along with, you know, 150 or 145 other people last week. He felt strongly about keeping that, maintaining it, you know, as long as their safety was preserved, and that they could be fair and impartial. And even though many of them walked into jury selection and say they had their thoughts, they had their opinions, they did say to the judge and the lawyers at the table that they could listen to the evidence and come up with what they think is a fair verdict at the end.
What was your sense of the opening statements, I guess, from both sides? First, the prosecution goes first?
Prosecution went first, and Patty, I would simply say that that prosecutor, Joe McMahon, who's a special prosecutor in this case from Kane County, did what most prosecutors try to do, which is let the facts speak for themselves. You know, they're not up there with a lot of drama. They're not pounding their fists on the podium. They're not sweating in front of the jury. They're Mr. Cool, Mr. Calm before the jury and simply giving you a play-by-play of what he believes happened that night based on the evidence that he has. And that does include, of course, that critical dash cam video that we've all been watching for several years now. He managed to get it into evidence today, although I should say opening statements is not evidence, actually, in the trial. But he did put it in during opening statements and then, of course, later. And I think he was probably as clean and as persuasive as he wanted to be, touching on so many different subjects that had to do, right on down to Officer Van Dyke's. He didn't talk about his state of mind, but he talked about whether his gun was drawn. He went through each bullet fired, which we all know is 16. He went by each shot one by one, counted them down before the jury, got to number 8, said we're only halfway there, and said there were 16 shots in total. That was his moment of drama, if there were any. As for the defense, you've got Dan Herbert representing Officer Van Dyke in this case, and he has used a much more dramatic flair when he came out and tried to humanize the defendant in this case. Their fear has always been that he's been villainized for so long And they want to make him seem like a loving husband, a father, an officer who was there to protect and serve and was simply carrying out his duty. So a little bit more drama. Both of these lawyers picking up the knife, three-inch knife that was, you know, used in this case, and, you know, kind of waving it about in the middle of the courtroom for a little extra drama, too. And that certainly gets the jurors' attention.
What is the demeanor of, I know it's day one, Julie, but you've been kind of watching this, the voir dire and the selection process and Jason Van Dyke and his attorneys. What was their demeanor today, both the jury and Van Dyke?
You know, I had a very good perspective of the jury during the morning portion, which was the longest portion of the day, and I thought they were all very good listeners, fairly expressionless, looking at their eyes and their reactions. Everyone stayed awake, and I don't mean to be funny here, but it does happen. People
just
tend to nod off. It's hard to sit in a chair for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think they, you know, the lawyers on both sides had their attention for sure. And we should mention here to you guys that they not only got through opening statements today, but they also ran through 8 witnesses in the witness box today. To me, that's a great big number.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It really means that this trial is going to move pretty quickly.
How many witnesses do you think they have? I mean, does the prosecution come out with their list ahead of time and you kind of get a vague idea of how long that's going to take over the next couple weeks?
You know, traditionally, you might know that information, and they might say, oh, at the end of Monday, we're going to tell you who's coming up tomorrow. But the judge has really chosen to not make that information public. So when each person walks in the room, it's news to us. And remember, there's a camera in the court for this, too. And there are going to be a number of witnesses who do not wish to be televised and on the web for this, too. So I think that being said, we're all kind of sitting and waiting. And when the door opens, it's interesting to see who walks through. And today that was several police officers, a couple that were retired, a couple that sat there in uniform, one of whom was actually one of the first officers on the scene back on October 20th of 2014. He was one of the officers walking with, and what I mean by that is about 15 to 20 feet away from Laquan McDonald as he was holding a knife in his hand, maybe swerving, maybe stumbling a little bit, slashing a tire, taking a swipe at a squad car window, and then walking, and everyone admits this, walking away from police cars, but not cooperating with commands from officers. This one officer that spoke today, Andre, that you mentioned, and I'm going to screw up his name, Officer Joseph, I think it's McAllagot.
Yes.
And he mentioned that he probably asked Laquan McDonald to put down his weapon, he said, at least 30 times. Laquan McDonald, the testimony we've heard today, never uttered a word during any of this. And for that reason, prosecutors trying to paint the picture of a crazed offender at the time, and someone who also had PCP in their system. That's the picture they're trying to paint.
However, didn't the officers say that they never feared for their lives? The officers that were responding?
The ones that testified today, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a great point to make that of the officers that were on the scene, remember at this point, Jason Van Dyke is the only one who ends up firing in the end. And up to this point, you know, even though Joseph McAllagot, you know, had his gun drawn and was prepared, he never felt the need to shoot. He never felt threatened at that moment. And I think if the way it was drawn up in court today, had he spun around and started walking towards that officer, he may have felt differently. But McDonald was walking away from him, and he was simply staying close and tailing him while a squadron was right next to McDonald as well. So it does change the equation. He did not feel threatened at any time. And remember, no other officers fired that night.
Right. And Julie, I want to ask you, too, your story with Tiffany Van Dyke, Jason Van Dyke's wife, aired yesterday, and
yes.
I know you did that last week. I thought it was a very powerful interview, and it was a very emotional piece. You did such a nice job with it. And I was reading online all the comments, and I found it to be almost evenly split. Did you see that as well? Some people being very sympathetic toward her, others not so much.
I think that's fair. And I can't really speak actually to the ratio. I'm not real sure about it being 50-50. But I will tell you, I got some very passionate emails in the last, 24, 36 hours. People who suddenly saw Tiffany Van Dyke, her husband, and their children as human beings, realizing they're a family, that for 4 years they have been walking through some waters that they never could have imagined. And then I heard from some people who thought it was truly despicable that we would see them in any other light than as a, you know, officer, and he's been called racist and trigger happy. Those are claims that he's been denying. His wife denies that too. And people feel, as you know, very passionate about this case. People are divided for sure. And how it's going to turn out is really up to this jury. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out now that it's in the hand of citizens.
I was surprised to learn, Julie, as you alluded to, the fact that people are so divided on this. Part of that element are the protesters, obviously trying to, display their frustration with the way things have happened and how this story even unfolded. I heard today that there weren't as many protesters as there previously had been.
I think that's exactly right. I've been going to the courthouse for about 2 weeks, everything leading up to today, and we've seen much larger and louder protests in the past, but today was not that. I should also mention, not only were protests somewhat quiet and thin, it's fair to say, too, it was not a packed courtroom today, ladies, and that was a bit of a surprise to me, too, because... Huh. There's a lot of media interest, of course, so those pews are filled inside the courtroom. But for people who are just interested public who wanted to get in there and see this firsthand, we thought that, there's a line, you have to put in your name, you've got to be called to go. And it was maybe 80% full at one point, maybe less at different points in the day. And this is the first day. People come out at the beginning and they come out at the end. So I thought that was pretty interesting, too. I don't know how telling it is, but I did find it an interesting note.
Very interesting, Julie. It's going to be interesting. You do a great job covering it, and we look forward to talking to you more as the trial continues.
And I encourage everyone to follow Julie. You can follow her on Twitter at UnruhJulie. That's UNRUH Julie, and she's giving you updates all day long. Yep. So, and also that interview that Andrea and Julie just mentioned with Jason Van Dyke's wife is available on her Twitter feed, and I'll retweet it right now.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Julie.
We're gonna bother you again.
Get some sleep, Julie.
Get some rest.
You're gonna need it.
Thanks, girl.
Thank you. More in a moment. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Give us a call or text us anytime, 312-981-7200.